So today I want to share with you guys a story that I ran into, and it was of, let me pull it up in the screen here.
May we introduce our new TV?
Yeah, this is our new TV. But yeah, okay, so there's this girl who was 17 years old, and with her mom, she attended a college. And her mom graduated with a perfect 4.0 GPA, and the daughter graduated at the age of 17 because she attended homeschooling to get a faster start on education.
Wait, they graduated at the same time?
Yeah, they graduated together. Isn't that sweet? But anyway, yeah, and they did an interview with this girl, and they were like, "What is your secret?" And she was like, "You know, to be honest, I don't have a secret. It's not because I was smarter than anyone else. It's not because I like studying more than anyone else. But it's because I was just too stubborn to give up."
Wow, a lot of willpower.
And I heard that, and I was like, you know, as Christians, this should be our mentality. This is what we should be saying,
Oh, man.
you know? And it made me really think, like, we're so weak in this corrupted world.
It's easier to be a sinner than to follow Christ, they say, because this is such a wicked world and get tempted a lot, you know, tried a lot. So, I want to go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 13. Even Jesus told us, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." So, you know, I just want to say it is really hard to go and hard to walk in a Christian walk, Christian life. Even Jesus said that, and only few will be able to find that narrow gate.
So really, you know, as Christians, what should be our motivation to not give up? To not give up being a Christian? Like, yeah. What are your motivations?
Go ahead.
Do you have your motivation?
Well, personally, my motivation to be a Christian is besides, you know, even what you said and what the Bible says in Matthew, I see that we are going to have harder time as Christians to live than any other people around the world. And still, I choose to be Christian because I feel that without God, I can't live. Without God, I'll be helpless. I'll be sucked into this world without a purpose in life and without a real happiness that I want to have. And really, God does provide all those things. And he helped me so I could gain what I want, basically. So that's what keeps me going, because I know that God loved me before I loved him, which means, you know, he is something.
I mean, I oftentimes, I don't know if we all agree, hopefully we do, like, as Christians, you know, I think sometimes Christians have more struggles in their life than, you know, non-believers. They could have because they might feel so tight or feel so, I don't know, caged in a way because of all the commandments and all the things that we have to keep. Or let's say like the standard, you know, the Christian standard, that there is a clear standard, and if we do not follow that, if we, you know, then if we do not live up to that standard, then you're stressed out, some people get stressed out. Like it's not like they're doing it for the joy, like you said, because you actually find happiness in Christ. It's not like that. It's more like, you know, sometimes take it into stress and pressure and like, why can't I do it? It's and sometimes even if I sometimes even I feel discouraged, you know, like I know that it's a sin and I keep doing it, and when I do that, when I do make that kind of mistake, then I get discouraged. I mean, yes, like
you feel very helpless.
Yeah, I feel very helpless.
That's
yeah.
Why I need God.
So but one text I guess that motivates me to keep going at it, not to sin, is that John 1:29. It says, John 1:29. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming.
We're not there yet.
Okay. Page 118. Okay. So it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So when I read that text, have that text in my mind that, okay, Jesus taketh our sins away. So, you know, that just motivates me not to sin, motivates to be walk, you know, Christian walk the time for me.
Yeah, for me personally, you know, I always, in the beginning, I always had a motivation of, oh, Christianity leads to eternal life, which is the greatest gift anyone can really have. And for a short time in my life, heaven was my motivation. But then, you know, I went into JNet and I listened to Sermon Righteous Motivation. And it really reminded me that, you know, my motivation shouldn't be heaven. That's like the cherry on top of the sundae. But my real motivation really is, you know, to really be on Jesus' side and tell Satan that he is wrong. That God's law, you really can abide by God's law. And sometimes for me, you know, as only being 16, it's so easy to get tempted and to fall into sin. And every time I fall into sin, I get discouraged. And sometimes I even wonder, like, you know, sometimes I wish I didn't see how beautiful God can be and how wonderful his works can be. If I just didn't know that, then it would be harder for me to not give up. You know, like if I never knew God in the first place and I never saw that he really is a loving God, then, you know, I wouldn't have really felt a motivation. But because I saw that, and I always fall into sin, and then I always get discouraged. But then there's this one text, and it's my favorite verse in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And it really this verse really motivated me that, you know, if I just really put my willpower into this, I can overcome this. Mm-hmm. You know, God is a just and good God. He wouldn't give me something I ultimately could not get over. And that's what really keeps me going.
Yeah, I think it's true that, like, if only we could see the battle that's actually taking place, if we could only somehow take the veils off of our eyes and can see that, you know, there really is a battle between Christ and Satan. And every time that we do sin, you know, the Bible says that we crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. And so every time that we sin, you know, Satan has a case against God and says, ha, you see this? Your children sin. So if only that we could see what is actually taking place in the spiritual realm that we can't see, I think that would help us a lot. But, you know, not to dwell on the negative aspect, the fact that there is a negative motivation or negative consequence. to continue to sin, or not to continue to sin, but to continue on this Christian walk. But then there really is. There really is a such thing as hell. There really is such thing as punishment. Mm-hmm. And we have to be aware of these things. Not too long ago, as a matter of fact, yesterday, we were at the park. And as we were at the park, we were just, you know, talking at the by the lake, and we were just talking. And incidentally, it was just because of the way that we dressed that this lady came over. She just came out of nowhere. She just came over. She was from Ukraine, but she was actually Russian. But she came out of nowhere. She just came, walked over, and she said, are you guys Christians? And yeah, we're Christians. And later on, we asked her, what made you come over here and ask if we were Christians? Because I had a little mini Bible. I thought perhaps maybe she saw the Bible or something. But no, she didn't even see the Bible. It was because of the way that we dressed. And she said, when people come to the lake, you know, they come in with shorts and bathing suit. And they,
topless.
Yeah, they look all half naked, and they don't look like Christians. And she said, it's because of the way that you dressed that I could tell that you were Christians. And but just a little side note, that what we are on the inside will come out on the outside. Mm-hmm. But anyways, when we started talking about things, I asked her the question. So she had this thick accent, thick Russian accent, and I could tell it was a European accent. And so I recognized that, you know, she hadn't been in the States for a long time. And so she must have been in, you know, a communist regime. And so I asked her the question, you have an accent. I could tell that you have an accent. You must have been in Russia or wherever when it was still communist. And she said, yeah, I was there. And she said, and so I said, how long have you been Christian? When did you become Christian? And she said, she was already Christian. And she was already Christian, and the thing about the Christians in that time was that they may have had churches, but then they didn't know the Bible. They didn't know anything in the Bible. Basically, what the preacher preaches, that's mm-hmm. what they take for granted.
And the preacher had the Bible?
Probably. But then she said that she says that she didn't own a Bible until she met her husband. And she borrowed her husband's Bible. So until that time, she didn't have a Bible. But she commented on the fact that there are so many people who don't know what is going on these days. Mm-hmm. I asked her the question, why are you a Christian? And she commented on the fact that, you know, look at Alabama, look at Tennessee, look at California, look at Japan. All of these weathers are actually natural disasters, mm-hmm. and all these things are telling us, you know, we're living in some strange times.
Oh, wow.
And she said, for those people who are discerning, we are living in the last days. Mm-hmm. Now I want to take you to one text in Luke chapter 21, sorry. Verse 36, Jesus speaking, he says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and shall stand before the Son of Man. I think one motivation that we have, especially now, you know, not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, but especially now, is I think because we are seeing the signs of the last days. Mm-hmm. And by seeing these things, I think it should be a motivation for us to continue and not give up, especially now.
Because it says, if you're worthy, then you can escape all these things.
Yeah.
You know? And what, I don't know, I want to, you know, open up and ask you guys what you guys think that what worthy means.
Well, before we get into that, when you said, when we are worthy, he will, I guess,
protect us
or rescue us. Mm-hmm. But I see that more, not really physically rescuing us from the struggles we face, mm-hmm. but even you know, we go through those same exact struggles when we think God is going to help us, but He is, I think, giving us protection. I don't know if that's the right word, but He is helping us get through it. But it doesn't mean that He's going to just, you know, not let it happen.
Right. In other words, when you look throughout Bible history, God never prevented these things from happening. Instead, He led them through it. Mm-hmm. He didn't prevent the 10 plagues from coming upon the world. He just led the Israelites through it. He didn't prevent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from going into a burning fire furnace, but He went in there with it, protected them from it.
And that was kind of like testing their faith as well.
Yes,
that's, I believe that's how He molds our character through the struggles.
That's exactly what Michelle was saying when she quoted that text in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Mm-hmm. God will only allow certain trials and temptations only to the point that we can handle. Mm. And so...
if it is happening to you, then you can handle.
But, you know, the reality is not really as easy as it sounds.
Yes, of course.
I don't know what you guys are going through in your Christian walk right now, but I know that when I heard your sermon, you know, there was a lady and who was raped by her father and was trapped in the basement for like how many years? So the public wouldn't find. Do you know what I'm talking about, the story?
I don't think I heard. I heard that one.
I heard that story.
From him, right?
I'm not sure if it was from him.
I didn't preach that one.
No, it was from you.
I didn't. Well, I'm not aware of it. Okay. If I did.
Okay. Well, whoever said it was like, you know, there was a lady who was raped by her father and then was captured or what?
She was locked up in a basement, tied up to a chair.
Oh, wow. So, like, the father did that to her, right? Yeah. So, like, you know, someone who's going through that, like, some kind of that struggle, like, how do you say, you know, like, because of this, or because of 1 Corinthians, 10:13, you know, you can overcome it. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you really say that to their face? Mm. I find that very hard. It's like, I know, you know, Michelle, you brought up a very important point that everything is about willpower. Mm-hmm. You know, like He only gives, you know, that much of trial, how much our willpower can take. But, you know, at some struggles, we just cannot overcome.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is true that, like, you take a 9, 10, 11-year-old girl who's being raped by her father, somebody who she used to trust, and now I can imagine even for a grown woman, that would be a hard struggle to endure, but then how can you tell her, hey, you can handle this?
That would almost be, like, cruel to say that.
But I heard that, you know, once you overcome that struggle, I can see that the person who has overcome those kind of struggles becomes a whole nother person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at a level where humans normally can't be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of grace of God. And they're at the level of, you know, being, you know, almost perfect in God's eyes.
And when I have struggle, can we go to Philippians 1:29? Page 272. Philippians 1:29. It says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Yes. "Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." So, one thing that kind of helps me when I go through those struggles, is that, you know, Christ suffered too.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I don't know who said it. I think Chonzunanim said it again. I think you said it in your sermon again, but it's not really about you. it's about, you know, God and what's taking place right now, the great controversy about between Satan and, you know, everything, this whole universe. So if you do not contemplate it, if you do not just, like, you know, focus and concentrate about what you're going through, why do I have to suffer this, why do I have to go through this, if you do not do that, but if you look beyond, you know, oh, this is a great controversy, this is, you know, Satan doing this, and, you know, Christ has suffered too, so I can suffer this too, for his own sake, and for, you know, later on future, then, you know, it really motivates me.
Mm-hmm. And another assurance is, you know, Satan wouldn't bother people who already are sinners, part of the world.
Yeah.
He would want to bother people who are of God.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, why would he want to, like...
That's why Christian life is more harder, or, you know.
So, you know, that could be an assurance that you are going the right path, actually.
Amen.
You know?
Mm. Yeah. Actually, also, might I remind you of that story in John 9, where the disciples run into a man who was born blind. And the disciples asked Jesus the question, who sinned? Was it because of this man that he was born blind, or was it because of the parents, right? And then remember Jesus' response. He said it wasn't because of his sin nor his parents, but for the purpose that God may be glorified. And ultimately, that was what happened, right? So there are some times when we have misfortunes for the very purpose that God may be glorified. I've heard another story similar to what you were referring to. I didn't preach about it, and so I really don't think that that was me. But then this young lady, I heard her testimony on a radio program, a very well-known Christian radio program, and she said, she tells her testimony of how she was trapped in her in the basement of her father's home. Eventually, I think the wife left him or something, and so she was, you know, just nobody to save her. Nobody knew that she was alive or anything, and he would nail all the windows and lock all the doors, and he wouldn't let her out. And, he, you know, of course, he would rape her all the time. And
well, that's the story.
Yeah, well, you'd be very surprised how many young ladies are raped.
No, I'm talking about
that's the story. That's the story.
But then I didn't share this. I didn't share this.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is something that I just heard but never shared it with anybody before. But then, yeah, she was in her basement a long time, and then eventually she came out of it. And she tells her testimony of how she was able to overcome by the grace of God. And by the end of her testimony, I could sense, you know, it's a radio program, you can't see, but I could sense that there weren't many dry eyes. The air was very charged with compassion and with, wow, you had to go through that. And in the end, she speaks about how, you know, there are lots of people who are actually abused that way. And she is encouraging them to overcome much in the same way that she overcame. And so there may be actually certain points in which you are going through. Let's say that you are now 26, but then at 16 years old, at the age of 16 years old, you were overcoming an issue with overeating. You know, perhaps maybe you're obese, and then you had a self-esteem issue, and then eventually you had to overcome that. And then you become 26, and then now you see another 16-year-old who is going through the same thing. Wouldn't you have words to say to that person, right? If I, 10 years later, am able to tell you, hey, I overcame this, it's going to be okay, that person would be able to take your word for it because, hey, you're a living example. And so a lot of times, these trials may come to us for the sake that maybe it wasn't easy for us, but then when we do overcome them, it actually glorifies God even more, 10 times more than the suffering that you had to go through.
Because you can help other people.
Exactly, yeah.
I think definitely, like, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Like, you can always sympathize with someone, but, you know, that, let's say you sympathize with someone who was sexually abused when they were a child, and they are grateful for your sympathy, but inside they're like, you know, you have no idea what I went through. But then if it's someone who empathizes with you, they went through the same thing, then I feel like that's more powerful, mm-hmm. definitely. Mm. But then I think, you know, we also have to remember that it's not, of course, you have to make the decision to, oh, I want to overcome this or I don't want to overcome it. But also, you know, we do have a helper. You know, if we just say a prayer to God, then He is always willing to help us. And, you know, if we could go to Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So ultimately, it is Christ in us that helps us to overcome. He is our only, our hope in this wicked world.
Mm. And He says, ask anything in My name and I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, oftentimes when I when I prayed, I would be like, oh, is this really gonna come true? Kind of doubt myself and, you know, doubt the prayer, but that's not the attitude that we should have. So. Mm-hmm. I liked everybody's motivation. It was a very beautiful story.
Thank you. And, you know, there are probably other motivations out there, too. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's always good for us, maybe every morning or something, to always remind us ourselves, like, why we are Christian.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Good idea.
And, you know, I'd like to share another story. If we could go to the screen here again. It's a really cute
Can
cute
we see the video? Is that...
No, I can't. Internet's not that well in the studio, but yeah, this is a dog. And what happened was there were, you know, tornadoes in the south and in Alabama, and mm-hmm. the tornado blew this dog away.
Dorothy and the...
What's this, the dog's name?
Okay, let's go.
So this is the dog. I just wanted to show you a picture. But what happened was because he was blown away by the tornado, he broke his two front legs. And mm-hmm. but this dog, without, beside having two broken legs, he crawled all the way back home.
How?
He crawled, and like the owners found him like a week later on their porch waiting for them. And when I saw this story, you know, they say dogs are very loyal, but I saw this and I was like, you know, us too, we really shouldn't give up. We should see the future, and we should see that, you know, God is waiting for us in His home in heaven. And even though we fall, even though we are so heavy with sin and we are crawling on the floor, we should still try to reach home, and then Jesus will pick us up and help us walk again. And it was just so motivating to see that dog crawling all the way.
I think one thing that is very helpful for us to have motivation to mm-hmm. keep going is having that purpose, the final goal, the final the purpose in life in God is what really keeps us going, because mm-hmm. now we have something to live for, and we have something to gain achievement, you know, mm-hmm. at the end. Without mm-hmm. that goal, I think we'll be lost. And no matter what we really do, we'll be just swaying back and forth.
Yeah,
I find that, like, a lot of times when I meet with other young people, I find that a lot of young people, you know, I ask them a question, hey, how's your walk with the Lord? And they may say, ah, man, struggling. You know, they say, yeah, not too great, man. I'm struggling. And they say, you know, as if that's a bad thing.
Huh.
Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. The Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And the question would be, how many times did the wicked fall? One time. But how many times did Just Man fall?
Seven times.
If you count the total amount of times that people fell, that these two people fell, who fell more? It would be the Just Man, right? The righteous man fell more than those who fell only once but gave up. But then what makes them righteous is because they keep getting up. And I've heard it illustrated this way. Imagine you're on a boat, this beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon, and you're rowing on a boat. And, you know, it's a beautiful fall afternoon where you have the leaves are turning orange, and it's just perfect and beautiful. And nothing can disturb your afternoon, but all of a sudden you hear, out of nowhere, just right over there, you hear somebody who is saying, "Help, help," and they're yelling out for help. And you can see they're drowning, they're really struggling, okay? That's scenario A. Scenario B, let's say you have the same scenario, you're on this beautiful, clear, placid lake, and you're enjoying the afternoon, but all of a sudden you hear on the side of the boat, boom. Whoa, what was that? And you look to the side and something, we just bumped into something inside. You look over, dead body.
Oh my goodness.
Which would you rather see? Scenario A or B?
A.
A, okay. A, universally A, right? Why?
Because you just didn't kill a person.
Yeah, there's still hope. You don't want to see the person struggling, but you would much rather see scenario A because there's still hope for that person. He didn't die yet.
It's a very good story.
It's you'll probably remember that one. But then
in our dreams.
This is the point. The struggle itself is a sign of life. Mm. The fact that you are struggling actually proves that you are still living. True sinners, like pure sinners, don't struggle with their sins. They have no problem with their sins. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you are struggling with your sin and you're wondering, am I still in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? That struggle itself proves that, hey, there's still life in you. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that I think we need to keep in mind is the struggle itself may not necessarily be bad. Mm-hmm. The important part is if you fall, what was it? Who was it? John? John who said that he wishes that we don't sin, but if we do sin, there we do have an advocate with the Father, somebody who will help us out, who will be our advocate, who will be our lawyer. And so if we do sin, then we do have a helper that will help us. And the important part is to just keep getting up. And I also want to, probably it would be safe to say the other disclaimer, saying that there are a lot of people who may actually even continue to sin, knowing that Jesus will forgive them. You know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Be presumptuous on the goodness of God and continue to sin. And so, yeah, I may be a sinner. I'm gonna do this, but in the end, I know that God is gonna forgive me. Keep in mind, the just falls seven times, which means how many times did he actually get up?
Eight.
Do you know what the number eight represents in the Bible? Resurrection, perfection. You have the eight heads, the eighth head in the book of Revelation. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll study Revelation sometime. But the eighth head in the book of Revelation is talking about the resurrection of the Antichrist. Jesus was raised on the eighth day.
Oh, yeah.
The number eight, a lot of times in the Bible, represents resurrection or revival. As a matter of fact, you take the word revival in the authorized version of the Bible and search it up in Bible computer. Guess how many times it comes out? Eight times.
Wow.
Eight times.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I want to also lay out a disclaimer and say that, the just man falls seven times, but he rises up the eighth time, meaning he is perfectly revived the eighth time. So there will come a time when he will cease from sinning that same old sin.
Just making sure it's not numerically, it has to be exactly seven times, right?
What do you mean?
It could be 10 times or 20 times you fall, right?
Well, I don't want to go too much into Bible numbers, but then numbers a lot of times in the Bible are significant. And you take the number 7. What does the number 7 represent?
I thought it represented perfection.
Yeah, perfection. So what do you call this kind of sinner? Who falls 7 times. I take it that he's a pretty good sinner. Right? Yeah, he's a very perfect sinner. But then the 8th time he rises up, and that's the last time he falls.
So, time out. We've been trying to answer the question, what motivates us to continue to be a Christian, not to give up? And we discuss kind of personal testimonies, but ultimately it comes down to, if you're struggling, it could be a good sign, because it shows that you are struggling and that there still is hope for you. Mm. So you should try to get back up and remember that motivation you first had, why you are a Christian. Mm. And, but we can't take it for granted again that, I can sin because God's going to forgive me. We can't have that mentality. We still want to prove Satan wrong and Christ right. We still want to show that God's law can be kept with our own choice. So now I have a question, which is, some people have fallen, they have gotten up plenty of times, numerous times, and now they almost feel like they've hit rock bottom. They have nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. There's no more help for me. I know a lot between young people, there's a lot of people struggling with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I run into this all the time where I see young people who feel like they've committed the unpardonable sin. I've gone too far, and there's really no hope for me. I'm not even gonna try. And the lack of, I don't wanna use the word self-esteem, but it's almost that, lack of confidence in the fact that Jesus can save you prevents them from even making the right decision in the first place. Mm. I used to be there. I know what it's like to feel like that, to feel like, I'm such a rotten sinner. I don't think God could forgive me for things that I've done. Mm. But it's not an issue of what you've done in the past, but to a degree of what you have done. So in other words, God will continue to convict us with that feeling of guilt upon our shoulders, but the more we actually put it off, what eventually ends up taking place is that when was the last, you remember the first time you lied to your parents or something, right? Mm-hmm. You felt that guilty feeling, but then probably as a teenager, a lot of times, parents may say, hey, where are you going this evening? I'm going to go out with my friends. And you know that's not what you're actually going to do, right? Mm-hmm. It almost comes naturally because you know that the reaction that they're going to have is not going to be favorable. And so you may say, I'm going to go out with John, when in reality you know that you're actually go see Sean, right? So that kind of lie doesn't faze you anymore. It doesn't... You're not feeling guilty about that anymore. What is actually happening is that you're hardening the ears of your heart to where you can stop, where you stop hearing the voice of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And might I even say that itself is the unpardonable sin, not what you have done, but how much you have actually done. So how much you have put aside hearing the voice of God speaking to your soul. And so it's actually kind of a dangerous thing to do. Number one, to assume the position of God in declaring yourself not savable, because only God can determine if you are if you can be savable or not. And number two, even to doubt the blood of Jesus Christ, when the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Okay, but then number three, the greatest danger of all is to coming to the point where they can no longer hear the voice of the Spirit. Eventually, they will come to a point where they hit rock bottom, and they can't find any light. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they feel guilty about it anymore. It's just that they have no emotions about it. And it's just empty void. And if anybody is going through that kind of feeling, might I also say that it would be better for you to make a decision now while the spirit is speaking, because you don't know when the spirit will no longer speak. And so make a decision now, because eventually you may not have another opportunity to hear the voice of the spirit. But I just want to close with one thing, one thought. Hebrews chapter 11. As we're turning here, I want to tell a story of Derek Redman. Many of you may have heard of Derek Redman. He was
a runner.
Yeah, he was actually involved in Olympics, and he was involved in the, I think it was the 4x400 meter relay, 4x something relay. It was a relay race, and he was training a lot, and everybody knew that Derek would be the one who would, you know, finish the race for that team. It was a British team, and competition time came. Everybody were on their blocks. They were getting ready to race, and as Derek went, everybody had gone around, and it was now Derek's turn to take the baton and go around the circle and come around to see the finish line. And when he saw that finish line, you sprint with everything that you have, and you put all your energies on there, and then eventually, you win the race. But then he was in the lead, but he falls down to the ground because he pulled his hamstring, and he falls down to the ground, and all the other racers run past him. And later on, the story continues that his father comes from the audience, and he helps him up, and the two of them race, props him up onto his shoulder, and two of them finish the race together. You could see that scene in the internet. It's a powerful scene, and I think of this whenever I read of this passage, Hebrews chapter, did I say 11? Hebrews chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible likens the Christian walk a lot of times to a Christian race. Mm-hmm. We are in this race. He goes on to refer to in Corinthians that it's not about a corruptible crown. We're not trying to win a corruptible crown, but we have a greater reward ahead of us. And the point of this race is not to get to the finish line, but for you to continue to race. Continue to race. It's almost like a marathon that never ends. As long as you continue to run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, guaranteed, no way that we can lose this race. Mm-hmm. So, as we conclude, I think we need to remember, if anybody is feeling down or discouraged about this Christian race, let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, because he is able to save us from it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.